Good morning. I'm so happy to be with you this morning, and I think I'm a long ways from home. Some of you have probably visited Yellowstone Park in your time, and Montana, Wyoming, and I live 60 miles or an hour away from Yellowstone Park. So that's my home, and I'm excited about seeing where you live and spending some time this afternoon just exploring some of your city and around here. Thank you, Pastor, for sharing your pulpit this morning. That's not easy to do. I know that. So I thank you for sharing and trusting Diana. That's a big thing. So I thank you for that. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn to Psalms chapter 100? Psalms 100, that's going to be our text this morning. Psalms 100, and many of you probably know it by heart, but we'll read it from the Word this morning. Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to the Lord and bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. And can we all say, amen, amen, amen. In this ever-changing, busy world that we live in, sometimes it's not so easy to serve the Lord with gladness. I'm 74 years old, and I had no clue that at this stage of my life, I would be so busy. My folks were 94 and 92 and ranchers in Montana. And even last week, my mom was out on her four-wheeler doing some things. And I said, you know, maybe we could just take a day off on this ranch around here. And like, how could we take a day off? I mean, there's things to be done. Did you have any idea that you would be this busy at this age? I thought when I got to be 74, I'd be sitting on a porch with my grandchildren around me. I would have learned to cook by now, and I would have some cookies. And I would be saying wise things to these grandchildren. And that ain't happening. I mean, there is something to do every single day. And I realize that the East Coast is just like the West Coast in our country. People are busy. We see construction going on here. We see tearing down and we see building up all around us. Things are changing all the time. And I think sometimes that's right. Why that's my excuse for not being able to think straight. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I remembered to be here this morning. Because I've gotten to a stage in life where I don't always remember what I'm doing. I did read somewhere that caffeine is good for your brain to kind of jumpstart it. And so I'm old enough for senior coffee at McDonald's now. So when I get like a little foggy, I go into McDonald's and I go through the drive-through and I get a cup of coffee. And 2 months ago, I went through the drive-through and got out on Park Street and reached for my coffee, and I didn't have it. I'd paid at the first window, drove right by the second window, and didn't have my coffee. And I had to go back around the drive-through, go to the little box, and say, "Do you remember me? I was the lady that was just here. Can I get my coffee?" And I go to the second window. Sure enough, there's my coffee sitting right there on this ledge. And this girl that looks like she's 13 hands me my coffee with a look that says, "I hope when I get your age that I'm not that bad." And I'm like, "Listen, sister, it's getting younger all the time." I have a very young friend who told me she was cleaning out her cell phone and deleting all the calls, and she looked at her list of calls, and most of her calls were from herself trying to find her cell phone. My brother is a cowboy in Wyoming, and they ride all the time. I mean, they drive cattle of, you know, 800 or 1,000 head and cross the Green River with these cattle twice a year, and a real bona fide cowboy. But I'm not sure John Wayne would approve, because before they go out to ride, They go to the convenience store at the end of Big Piney, Wyoming, pull up all their horse trailers and go in and have coffee before they go out to ride. And my brother told me the other day that they were sitting around the table having their coffee before they went out, and somebody's cell phone went off, and the guy next to him reached in his pocket and pulled out the remote control to his TV. Maybe none of you are even having these kind of problems. I wanted to share with you from my breast cancer book. Even before chemotherapy was in my life, I sometimes lacked concentration. One day I went to the laundry room and prepared to do my washing. I started the water in the machine and then went into the bedroom to get our dirty clothes out of the hamper. 2 hours later, I walked by the washer. Sure enough, it had gone through the whole cycle with no clothes in it. Somewhere between the washer and the bedroom, I got sidetracked. I told my husband I'd run the washer on a cleaning cycle. I'm always getting up to go get something in the house, and when I get there, I can't remember what I came for. I found my dishwasher detergent in the refrigerator, my car keys in the silverware drawer, and the milk carton sitting in the cupboard beside the plates. I got in a tizzy about my mental state and how ditzy I was going to be after all the chemo drugs went through my system, but I conferred with a few friends and I felt better. One friend told me that her husband called from the bedroom, "Hun, where are my socks?" "In your drawer where they always are," she answered. "No, they're not," he said. "There's a package of hamburger in there, though." She didn't miss a beat. "Well, then look in the refrigerator. Your socks must be in there." And immediately I felt better. So I don't know if I'm preaching to the church or not, but I'm telling you, this is a busy, busy world. And how do we walk with joy in this world? How do we serve the Lord with gladness when we're just trying to keep our head on straight? I firmly believe that Jesus walked with joy, and I believe he lived in a very busy world for his time. And I believe that there were crowds and crowds of people, like the Bible tells us, that were following all the time. Another really strange thing about age that I've discovered, and I don't know if this is true in your part of the state, but you get into a certain age of life where all of a sudden you care about the weather. I mean, it's not a young thing. All three of our sons live in Montana, and two live over the pass, the mountains, the Bridger Mountains. And we will call in the morning and say, "How's your weather over there?" And they'll go, "Don't know, haven't looked." Because they're not old enough yet to really care about the weather. But when we moved to the ranch to help my folks in 2003, we lived in eastern Montana where my husband worked for power plants. And in 2003, we moved to the western side, back to the ranch where I was raised to help my folks. And we built on the edge of the hay field just over the hill from my folks because we didn't want to see each other. Because we thought if we see each other, they'll be going, "What's their light on for? Where are they going?" And we'd be going, "Where are they going? What's their light on for?" So we built just over the hill from each other. And my dad would call in the morning and say, "What's the temperature over there?" "Well, I can see your thermometer just from here. It looks like we're about the same as you over there." You care about the weather. And you can't go to bed until you've watched the weather. And you can be so sleepy you can hardly keep your eyes open. And I visited with a friend, one of the stock growers that I know, and he says, "I think my grandpa has a TV on the ceiling." And I said, "Well, why is that?" Because he said he always watched the weather like this. But we can't go to bed till we watch the weather. Is that true here? Well, you don't have to admit it, I guess. And the weatherman becomes like your best friend. I mean, Bob McGuire is ours in Montana. We should send Christmas cards back and forth because we feel he's part of the family. So we're sitting there, and my husband and I have, and this is another age thing, we have our Archie and Edith chairs, you know, with a table in between. And we're sitting waiting for the weather, and finally Bob McGuire comes on with the weather. And he said, "Tomorrow the weather's going to be a departure from average." Now, I don't know about in Maryland, but in Montana, we haven't had average weather for about 5 years. I mean, we don't even know what average is anymore. We had 13 inches of snow last week, but we also had snow the beginning of August. I mean, and then we don't have any rain, and then we have lots of rain. And he said the weather is a departure from average. And I grabbed this recipe card. I keep a stack of them on my table between our chairs. People give me recipe cards all the time because they think it'll help me to cook, and it hasn't done it yet. My husband brought a sign home from the missionary convention, hung it in our kitchen, and it says, "Welcome to the Promised Land." But I grabbed one of those recipe cards, and I wrote down on it, "A departure from average." And I said to Robert, "You know, that's a sermon. Jesus was a departure from average. That is why he revolutionized the whole world, because he was a departure from average. He wasn't what people expected. He came in a manger instead of being born in a palace. And he walked a road of love. He walked a road of serving people with joy. I believe he walked with joy because he attracted people to him. And I don't know about you, but I don't get up in the morning and say, "Oh, I'd like to go visit my crabby friend." We gravitate toward people who make us happy, who are joyful. And I believe one of the reasons that Jesus drew people to himself is because he was full of joy. Serve the Lord with gladness. And do you know what Jesus said? You know what Jesus said to us who were to come later? He said, "Follow me. Follow me. Do what I did. Follow me." And you know, sometimes I think that things aren't always as they seem. In this world, many people search after riches and pleasures and things. And you know, there is nothing better than peace. Money can't buy peace. Peace in your heart and peace in your soul. And Jesus said, "I bring peace unto you." And his words to us are, "Follow him." So the things that are going on in this world, they aren't always as they seem. On April 28th, my husband had been in the hospital for just a few days. He was 6'9", and his legs started swelling and didn't know what that was. Well, they flew him to Billings, and he was there, and they discovered there was a problem with his heart. And on the ninth day there, they said, "We're going to do a heart test and see if we can find the source of this problem." And so they did the heart test, and they brought him back in the room, and he was supposed to lay flat still for 6 hours, as some of you know, after one of those heart tests. And the doctor said to me, "It's not good. It's not good at all." He said, "We're going to call a specialist tomorrow." And he said, "We'll keep him another week, but he's not going to come home the same man that he was before and being able to do anything." And so I went into his room, and he said, "Am I going to be better?" And I said, "Well, I guess." I said, they're going to do a heart test tomorrow. I mean, they're going to bring a specialist in tomorrow and keep you here another week, and then we'll go from there. And he looked up at the ceiling, and he said, "I don't know why they don't have a TV up there," and leaned back his head and was gone. In 3 minutes, he was gone. He was gone. He was gone to heaven. Because, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And immediately the room was filled with code blue people and the whole thing. And they said, "You've filled out the form that says, do not resuscitate," or all that stuff. And they said, "What do you want to do?" And isn't that a weird moment to be in? I mean, you never expect that. We were going to go home and resume doing the things we were doing. And I said, And then I said, "No." And I looked up the ceiling and I said, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You took him to glory." And he didn't have to come home, and he didn't have to be a man he wouldn't have wanted to be. He was able to go to glory. And I said, "And the Lord didn't even make him lay still the 6 hours, which he would have just hated. He just took him right up." And you know what? Things aren't always as they seem. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We are just here as long as God has us here to do the purpose he has planned for us. And then we go home to glory, to be with Jesus. Things aren't always as they seem. You know, I went to church. My mom and dad went to a church meeting when I was 12 years old and invited Jesus and gave their lives to Jesus. And we were a rodeo family and a ranch family. And And my dad was a bull rider, my brother a calf roper, and I did barrel racing. And our life was surrounded by a happy family. But Mom and Dad, when they went to this church meeting and they gave their lives to Jesus, their lives changed. And I don't remember a night of ever going to bed that I didn't see my dad kneeling by the old blue footstool in our living room praying for all of us. And all through our lives, until he also went to glory 4 weeks later, he prayed for our family. And I saw my mom turn into a woman who loved the Lord and was concerned about others and caring for others. Well, I went to church and memorized Bible verses and did all the things that, you know, we're taught, you know, that money doesn't grow on trees and the world doesn't revolve on you and we weren't born in a barn and wear clean underwear in case you get in an accident and you have to go to the hospital. We were taught all the same stuff and taught about being good, and I wanted to be the best wife, the best mom, the best church lady, all of those things as I grew up, got married, moved to Billings, Montana. We were living at 241 Fair Park Drive. One day I went in the bedroom and I shut the door. And I said the words, God, I can't do it. I cannot do it. I cannot be good enough. I just cannot be good enough no matter how hard I try. And I opened up my Bible. And, you know, I'd memorized these verses. But I opened up my Bible that day, it fell open to Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And a couple pages over, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And right there in Romans, it says, "For by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, including Lois." You can't be good enough. And I just kept thrumming through the Bible, and I opened up to a verse that changed my life. And I don't know, but I think I could ask anybody in this room to stand up and quote this verse, and they would. I think you've got it in your homes. I think if you keep your Christmas cards, you've got a Christmas card with a little Joseph, a little Mary, a little baby Jesus, and underneath it, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Jesus Christ the Lord." Do you ever think you know something, and then your eyes just open and the light comes on and there it is? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Jesus Christ the Lord." And here was my question. Why would God send his son as a Savior if we could do it ourselves? Flat out. Why would God send his son as a Savior if we could do it ourselves by being good enough? We can't be good enough. We can't be so bad that God can't save us. And we can't be so good that we don't need the sacrifice for our sins in order to be in communication, in friendship, and in love with our Heavenly Father who is so holy. And that day I got down on my knees and I said, "God, forgive me for trying to be good enough." I said, "God," because I come from a rodeo family and a ranch family, I said, "God, I'm handing the reins over to you. Please forgive me. Please take charge of my life. I surrender my life to you." And I got up from my knees that day, and do you know I still couldn't cook? I still couldn't cook. But God changed my life. He changed my life from making it all about me to making it all about him. And you know, I find as I study the scriptures, do you know why God picked Mary to be the mother of Jesus? Do you know what it says in Luke 2? Because she believed. Because she believed. And you know, believing in something is different than knowing about it. When I get on that plane to travel here and there and everywhere, I'm believing that the pilot knows what he's doing. When I get in Mary Ann's car for her to drive me, you have more traffic on your highway than we see in a month on our road. I kid you not. I believe that she can get me where I'm going. We might do a couple of U's in the meantime, but we'll get to where I'm supposed to be because I believe she can drive me. And you know, I think one of the problems in our country today, maybe in those of us who say we're followers of Jesus is we are not really acting on believing what we believe. Jesus said, I will be with you always. He said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He says that He gives us gifts. He equips us by His Holy Spirit to do what He's called us to do. And what He's called us to do is to share the good news. He says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And the good news, people, the good news is Jesus saves. My husband and I were watching a TV rescue program one night, and there was a man floating down a flooded canal, and he was grabbing onto this log and trying to hang on as he floated down these flooded waters. And there was a helicopter over above him, and they were dropping a life raft down to him. And at the same program, there was a woman, and there was a cliff. And she was hanging on. She'd fell over this cliff, and she was just hanging on by kind of a scraggy piece of wood. And they were letting a rope down so that they could rescue her. And you know what came to us as we watched that? He had to let go of that log and grab on to the life raft that was going to save him. And she had to let go of that branch she was holding on to grab the rope that would save her. And people, we got to let go of trying to do it our own way and grab on to what God has for us. We do that by praying and staying in His Word. And I just wanted to tell you that I believe that God gives us and equips us with gifts to share the good news with others. And I know in the Bible there's this list of gifts that are like hospitality. We can't do hospitality at our house. If you come, we'll take you out to dinner, but I ain't cooking. I'll just tell you that right now. But I believe that God gives us gifts of the things that we like to do. That's what God's gifted with us, what we like to do, and then share that with others. If you like to fish, you take people with you that you would like to win to the Lord. If you like to hike, you take people with you. If you like to talk on the phone, you call people that are lonely. If you like to read, you share those Christian books with other people. Do what you like to do to the glory of God. When I was going through my chemo and radiation, we had to drive 130 miles to where I was getting treated. And Gigi called me and she said, Lois, I'd like to bring supper to you every Tuesday night while you're going. I had 35 radiation treatments and then 6 months of chemotherapy. And she said, I'd like to cook for you every Tuesday night. So every Tuesday night, here would come a meal from Gigi. Robert thought he'd died and gone to heaven right then. And we were so, I mean, it was just wonderful. And when I finished my 35 radiation treatments, when we drove every day to Billings, I wrote a note to Gigi and thanked her and told her we just loved it so much. And she called me up about 3 days later when she got the card and she said, Lois, I'm not stopping now. She said, I'm doing it till you're done with chemo. For 6 months, every Tuesday night, Gigi brought supper to our house. And when I finished my chemotherapy, Robert said, don't tell Gigi. Don't tell Gigi. I met a gal in Portland. I was speaking in along the Oregon coast, and I met this gal who was 48 years old and had never learned to read. But when she learned about Jesus and she gave her life to Jesus, she also entered a church where people cared for her, and she was confident enough in their love that she could confess she'd never been able to read or write. And those ladies taught her to read and write. And she and I became pen pals. And just a couple months ago, I got this letter from Sue. And I want to just read it to you as I close. Dear Lois, I thought I'd write. I spent 2 days at a friend's house and helped the person to clean their apartment, being it hadn't been cleaned in 6 months. So I did about 6 loads of dishes, cleaned the bathroom while the garbage was taken out, and vacuumed the living room, and I had a good time while I did it. I like to clean places for the less fortunate. That's my Christian ministry. I find a lot of people that I can give and leave a seed, and the Holy Spirit takes over. Well, I'm doing good at this. I learn a lot about people by doing. Well, I tell you, it's fun. God works through my life into others, and they learn more about my Lord, and they want to ask more. And I send them to my church, and I give them a Bible, and I bless the book, and I send them on their way, and I pray for them, and then I go on my way. This way, they get a good life on top of a blessing. Is that awesome? Awesome, awesome. Doing what she can in the name of Jesus to spread the good news. You walk with joy when you follow Jesus, when you do what he did. And that makes you a departure from average. And then people see Jesus in you. May I just close. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures through all generations. Thank you. God bless you.
Pastor. Well, thank you, Lois. Diana Shutt is off the hook, isn't she? She